One of my favorite hymns. The scene would have happened somewhat like this. In the court of the women around the temple, there would have been a room with 13 receptacles to receive money, all shaped like trumpets. And as women would go to the receptacles to put in their offering, they would announce their amount and the purpose for which they were giving to the priest. So that if you were attentive, you could hear what everybody was giving and why. Into this room came a number of well-to-do women announcing their gifts and placing it in the receptacles. And in their midst comes a poor widow who announces publicly that all she has to give are 2 lepta. A lepton was the smallest coin in the currency. 2 lepta was the absolute minimum gift allowed by temple law. And amidst all of these well-to-do people announcing their gifts, she comes with the bare minimum. And as she leaves the room, Jesus says, "Gentlemen, you have just witnessed something extraordinary. This woman gave all that she had. Everyone else gave out of their abundance, but she gave all that she had. She gave more than anyone else here." I confess to you that some years ago I had a conversation with a wealthy businessman, very wealthy businessman, who expressed that he wasn't very impressed by the widow's gift. He said, "Well, heck, if I was down to my last $50,000, I'd throw that in too. What's the big deal of throwing your last 2 cents in?" Which sounds reasonable, sounds logical and clear. And yet Jesus had pierced this woman's motivation in a way far more profound than my wealthy friend. Jesus said to those around him, "Look, everyone else who gave out of their abundance. They gave out of their superfluity. What they gave had little impact upon their overall life. Not this woman. She gave out of her living. She gave all that she had." And we wonder why. Maybe we can learn something from Martin Luther, the theologian, who said, "Sometimes we must make ourselves nothing before God so God can make us something." This woman made herself nothing before God, casting herself in absolute trust upon God's providence that God might make her something. What was she trying to accomplish with her gift? Was she trying to buy God's favor? Was she throwing a couple of coins in a cosmic slot machine, hoping to strike it rich? Was she trying to impress God? To win some blessing? Lots of people do that, you know. They give to God, they give to the church, because they hope that by so doing, they can buy some meaning in their life. They can escape the vacuity, the emptiness, the loneliness of their existence. But that is a fruitless endeavor. You don't buy meaning with your stewardship. Rather, your stewardship flows out of meaning. It's because we have experienced the reality of God, because we have been touched by the reality of grace, because we've been shaped by divine love, that our lives have meaning and purpose. And because we know that God has given God's self to us, we have no response but gratitude. We don't give to gain meaning, we receive meaning, and so we give. A missionary many years ago said that she witnessed the modern version of the widow's mite. The year was 1950. The place was Korea. The communist troops had just overrun the UN troops and the US forces and were bearing down on a city. People had gathered in the city on a cold, wintry night. The city had lost electricity. People were fleeing. They had lost their homes, lost their possessions. And yet at 4 a.m. in the morning in the basement of this church, an impromptu worship service broke out. People were singing hymns, offering prayers, syncopated by cries of anguish and loss. And as this impromptu worship service was taking place, the minister said, "We must take an offering." The missionary thought, how insensitive can this man be? These people have just lost everything they own. They've lost their house, their possessions. Many of them have lost loved ones. How can he suggest an offering? They have nothing to give. And the man said, "Let us have an offering of clothes." On this bitterly cold night, when most people were just dressed in thin cotton, nobody moved. And then an old man came to the altar and took his vest off and placed it on the altar. A young mother came, took the sweater off her baby, put it on the altar, and put the baby inside her blouse. And to this missionary's astonishment, people started removing what clothing they had and placing it upon that altar. Showing the lie to my businessman friend's idea. Yeah, if I was down to my last 2 cents, I'd throw it in. If he was only down to one shirt on a cold night, would he take it off so that somebody else could be warm and do so as an act of worship and love? As this missionary watched these people take clothes off their back so that strangers could be clothed, she called it the most terrible and magnificent act of stewardship she had ever seen. Dr. Krimmer, that doesn't make sense. Why would a woman throw her 2 last lepta into the receptacle? Why would a Korean take a shirt off his back and give it to someone else? It still means someone is bare-chested. That sounds logical, it sounds reasonable, but it shows no understanding of why we give unto God. It shows no understanding of the true motivation of stewardship. Prestigious pastor in Washington, D.C., learned through a deacon that a Miss Smith and his congregation put $4 in the plate every Sunday. The pastor knew Miss Smith was a single mom on public support. And so he did the pastoral thing. He pulled her aside and said, "Miss Smith, keep your $4 for yourself." And she answered, "Pastor, you are trying to take from me the one thing that gives my life dignity and meaning." She could only give $4, but she had experienced the reality of God's love, known the liberation of God's redemption, and the glory of her life every Sunday was to express that in a stewardship of praise. Why do we give unto God? Maybe I can answer that question indirectly. Those of you who know something about World War II know that one of the most vicious battles of that war and the most meaningful pivotal was won in the Battle of the Bulge, the Battle for Bastogne. The American soldiers who held that city against all odds in horrific cold, frigid conditions, murderous circumstances were known to history by this round. They were known as the Bastards of Bastogne. I have pastored four of those men. All four of them, in their own way, had the same testimony. I asked them, how did you stay strong amidst such horrible, inhuman conditions? And all of them said essentially the same thing. I had to be strong because I didn't want to let down the guy in the foxhole next to me. I would bear any cost. I would lay down my life for that person because I knew he would do the same for me. And that's when I learned an incisive truth. Courage is relational. Courage is relational. Stewardship is relational. Why do we give unto God? We give unto God. We give unto this church because we don't want to let down the person sitting next to us. We don't want to let down those children who just blessed us with music. We don't want to let down our young people. We don't want to let down our older people. We don't want to let down the person next to us. We don't want to let down the God who we know has given to us everything. And how can we respond except in gratitude? Sacrificial gratitude. Why do we give unto God? We give unto God for the same reason we give unto others, because we love. And if that sounds to you like a platitude, it shouldn't, because you see this truth demonstrated every day. Parents have a sick child. They work overtime, they work extra jobs, they drive hundreds of miles to find the right doctors, they make all kinds of sacrifices, and from the outside we say, God, how do they do it? But from the inside they say, we're not sacrificing, we're privileged to do what we can to bring healing to our child. A mother buys the material for her daughter's wedding dress, works at making it until her back aches and her fingers throb, and from the outside we go, God, what a burden. But the mother says, no, no. What a joy. What a joy it is to use my skill to make my daughter's dress. In Foley, Alabama, on the way to Gulf Shores, there's a little hospital sits off to the right. My grandmother worked in that hospital as a nurse's aide. Not a very educated woman, but an incredible hard worker. And she didn't make much money. But she scrimped and she saved and she put aside and she worked extra hours. So that when her grandson graduated from college, she could give him a check for $3,000 to buy a car. I never passed that hospital that I don't stop and nod in honor of someone who cleaned bedpans so she could offer a gift. Why? Why?
Why would someone throw their last tulipa in the receptacle? Why would a single mother give her last $4 every week? Why would a grandmother clean out bedpans? It's because of love. Because the power of relationships. Why we give unto God is because we have an intimate sense of God's presence in our lives, and God's love defines us, God's grace liberates us. And how else can we respond but with sacrificial stewardship? Why do we pass the plate every Sunday that you're allowed to put in your gifts and your offerings, your tithes, and pretty soon your pledge cards? It's because it gives us a chance to express our love for each other, our love for God. You don't realize it, but this has been a momentous week in the life of our church. A few days ago, the search committee for the children's minister came to the personnel committee and said, "We're not finding any resumes, getting no candidates. We need to expand the job description to include pastoral care and education and make it a full-time job. It's going to cost us an extra $40,000. How are we going to do it? I don't know. But we've got to." At the same time, the building committee and the finance committee and the endowment committee came together. And Charles Scheibel and Lynn Heisman put together a list of things costing $160,000 that need to be done immediately. We don't know where all that money is going to come from, but we know it has to be done. And with rare succinctness, Charlie J. said in the meeting, "Both of these initiatives, a new full-time minister and paying for these physical plant improvements, have to be achieved for this church to attain its potential." How are we going to do it? We can't do it giving out of our abundance. We can't do it giving out of our superfluity. We have to do it giving out of our living. But we have to do it because we don't want to let each other down. Stewardship is relational. Sometimes we look at our lives and say, "Well, we don't have the resources to make this happen. Even collectively, we can't pull it off." But all I can say to you is, if we give with joy, if we give with passion, if we give with shared commitment, God will bless our efforts and see it to fruition. It's almost Thanksgiving. Almost November, and our thoughts turn to Thanksgiving. So I want to share with you an early Thanksgiving story. One of the generations of pilgrims would begin Thanksgiving dinner by putting 5 kernels of corn on each plate. And before everybody dug into dinner, you picked up a kernel of corn and you gave expression of thanks. Now, why? Why 5 kernels of corn? Because the first colonists were in times so difficult, in circumstances so dire, that often the daily ration of food was 5 kernels of corn. And yet, it was those pilgrims who established our tradition of Thanksgiving. Out of the meagerness of their circumstances, they lived with hope and gratitude. Why do we give unto God? Because God has blessed us, nurtured us, redeemed us, strengthened us, given us family together. And so we give with joy and passion and love, knowing that God can take what we give and multiply it beyond our wildest dreams. May we pray together. Lord, it may seem that our lives, individually and collectively, don't have the resources for the challenges ahead. It may seem that we only have 5 kernels of corn. But may we lift up each kernel in gratitude and in praise. May our lives be lived to you through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.